Welcome to Whitechapel Church Online. You're currently listening to preaching from our Sunday services. We believe that when the preaching happens, that collectively we're hearing the Word of God, that God's Word has the power to change who we are. We also believe that God can meet you right where you're at, and that He has a Word specifically for you. We hope that you enjoy today's sermon, and we would love to have you at an in-person service. Head over to whitechapelchurch.com to get more info. Enjoy the sermon and be blessed.
You may be seated. I'm so glad this morning that two of our dearest friends are here, Robert and Judy Weeks. Robert and Judy are going to come now. Judy's going to be sharing with us today. Robert is going to come. They have pastored on the west coast of the United States. And then you saw the light, right? And you got to Florida as quick as the Lord would allow you. Robert and Judy have been in the ministry for years. We had the privilege of being in Jacksonville while they were serving in a church, pastoring a church in Jacksonville. And the Lord has led them into a unique ministry that we, as Whitechapel, have partnered with them in just a small way of our partnership, just to bless them for what their God is doing in their lives in this season. And so Robert is going to share with us, and then Judy's going to proclaim the Word of God. But would you just take a moment to welcome them to Whitechapel this morning?
Thank you. It is so awesome to be with you, and I have to say I was like flattened by that worship, so thank you, worship team. The guy kept saying to me, "You're flattened right now." I was like, "Yep, I'm flattened for sure." So before I tell you about our ministry, I always want to tell you, you know, we've known about this church since we were in our 20s. We're not going to tell you how many years ago that was, all right? But in Vancouver, Washington, our senior pastor when we were in our 20s was Gerald Marvel, who was very good friends with your beloved pastor, Berkowitz. And he would always talk about Daytona and Whitechapel Church. And I remember sitting in our sanctuary in rainy, cold Washington and dreaming of Daytona. And so I love how God takes us on a journey that is just super amazing, because we weren't even in ministry. And here we are with y'all in beautiful Daytona. So, but we did want to just take a moment to thank you for your support for our ministry. We were in Jacksonville for many years, as Judy was a senior pastor there. And then when we left the church and moved to Lake Wales, God put this crazy dream in our heart that we wanted to open a bed and breakfast for pastors or missionaries, and also to be used for churches, for staff retreats, and ministry boards from all over the world. And so we decided we were going to try that. And we looked and looked and looked. We drug our poor real estate agent all over Central Florida to try to find a bed and breakfast for us. And he found one in Lake Wales. It was way out of our price range. We decided to just pray for it. And miraculously, the sellers dropped way down so that we could afford it. And we purchased this home. It's the third oldest home in Lake Wales. It's 110 years old, sits right on the lake. It's an incredible place for us to serve people. So I actually have a list I wanted to write down to tell you where we've had pastors and their spouses come in the last 3 years, thanks to some of your support, for sure. Arkansas, Illinois, Florida, Kentucky, West Virginia, Honduras, Indiana, Tennessee, Washington State, Ohio, Oklahoma, Michigan, Wyoming, Nebraska, and Texas. We're shooting for all 50 states. but we have people come that need a rest, need to take it easy, get away from ministry for a little bit and rejuvenate as couples or singles, and be able to stay with us without charge. And as you know, many of our pastor brother and sisters don't have a lot of extra cash, and a free Florida vacation sounds pretty good, I think. And so, especially for our Michigan and Ohio folks in the winter, for sure. But we have them come and stay. Judy puts on the dog. She makes a 3-4-course big breakfast, all of our best china, everything, because we want our pastors to feel like they are honored as the anointed leaders appointed by God, and the honoring that we want to give them. So it's a joy for us. We love doing it. We only have one church that supports us. That's y'all. And so we're very thankful for your support. And miraculously, we've been able to do it, and we will continue to do it. So thank you very much. Yeah. Now I'll give you to the better looking one.
All right. Good morning, friends. It is so exciting to be here, as Robert had already mentioned. I'm sure you all have been enjoying the series that Pastor Michael has been sharing. It is amazing. Robert and I love watching online and participating in worship and the word here at Daytona. And it was kind of funny when Pastor Michael had asked me to speak, and I touched base with him a week or so back, and just wanted to just double check and say, hey, anything you want me to speak on and whatever, did you have something that you wanted? And anyhow, the Lord had already been speaking to me on this series. And so today, what I am excited to share with you on is the concept of lived out love. We have talked this past several weeks. You have heard from Pastor Michael and wonderful, wonderful words. You have heard about the Lord coming out of heaven, out of the water, out of the grave, stepping out in the dark garden hours of our life with the strength of Jesus through trials and challenges that Diana shared so powerfully with us. Incredible, incredible words, the incredible word of truth and life. Amen. And so today, I'd like to share the passage with you that is coming out of James 14, verses 16 through 24. It reads, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." So first, I just want to hit the point that he talks about, that Jesus is saying, I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Pastor Michael talked about Jesus is the Word. Amen? Jesus is the Word. It says that in John. We know God is love, right? And so as we are looking at what we are to do, and after having received Jesus, having been washed by him, having him live in us, we want his life to live through us in our lives. Amen? We want the will of Jesus to be brought through our lives. We want the decisions we make to be the decisions that Jesus wants. Amen? We want the love that is poured through us to be the love that Jesus has. In order for us to do that, it's really helpful and imperative that we make the shift from thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for washing me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the word. And thank you, Jesus, for Holy Spirit living in me. And now, Jesus, my life is going to be all about you. I want you, Jesus, to live freely in me and through me for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen? We need to have a myopic view of keeping Jesus as the focus. Amen? It's all about Jesus. We want to live out his love. His word is love. His word is life. And in order for us doing that, we need to submit fully to the word. You know, this right here, Father has given this to us as the word to guide us, to lead us. It is the breath of God. Amen? It is inspired of God. And as a child of the God Most High, are you following here? As a child, my identity is a child of the King of Kings. Amen? When we have been born again, he has adopted us. We are sons and daughters of the King. Amen. That needs to get you all excited. And this word right here tells us who we are in that identity as a son or daughter of the God Most High. So friends, if you want to read about yourself, of who you are, that maybe you haven't reached the fullness of who you are yet because you're growing, open this. It describes who Jesus has died for you to be. In this, the word of God, this word is love. What we want to do is submit to the word because it is love. We don't look at it as harsh and beating us down. This is love. I want love to live in me and through me, to love out every lie that I ever embraced and thought was truth. I want this love, the word, I want it to live in me and through me to love out all behaviors that is not my identity in Jesus. Here it is, friends. When you and I sin, when we mess up big time, do you know what you're doing? You're living outside of your identity in Jesus. That's what it is. You're living outside of who you are. That's not who you're supposed to be. That's not who I'm supposed to be. And we are on a journey of learning who we are in Christ Jesus and what we are, what we want to grow into, what we're actually supposed to look like, right? We have 11 grandchildren. Number 12 is on the way. God is so awesome. They're all under the age of 10. And Robert, and it is a houseful. I'm just telling y'all. And they're all in Florida, and it's awesome. Robert regularly, as he looks at these grandchildren, he will say to the boys, there's seven to five right now. Well, we'll have seven and five. Anyhow, he says to them to raise them up as men and to be men who are, well, firstly, godly, but secondly, to be men who have manners, kindness, strength, hardworking, not vulgar. He will say to them, if he sees a behavior that is unseemly, he'll say to them, weak men don't act like that. That's not who you are, son. That's not who you are. It's not a condemnation. It's a conviction. Rise up to who you are, child. We had our grandchildren, five of them live in town, and so they're frequently over at our house for dinner. It's awesome. And so we take the time to teach them manners. We decided to do a competition, and that we had a manners game. So you got points for good manners because we want them to have good manners. Robert's dad had great manners. It was something along the family line that, you know, his dad was a man's man and a gentleman, and he gave all of that to Robert. And so we have this, at dinner time, we would have this little competition and learning good manners because this is how we do it. This is how we roll here. And to affirm that and to make it fun. It's part of the attribute of who you are. This describes the attributes of who we are. And we want to submit to it. We want to submit to love because it is love. Amen? It is love. It is not bad. It is good. It is life. It is truth. It is the way we want to submit to love so it can live in us and change us. To walk with Jesus, he says, those who love me will obey my commands. We are obeying him, we are submitting and walking in unity with him, in alignment and not against him. We are walking, when we do that, We're walking in our true identity. Isn't that exciting? Shouldn't it excite us to be walking in the trueness of who we are in Christ Jesus? It is something that, you know, you'll hear it out there in the world. Oh, discover who you are and blah, blah, blah. Oh, I get so weary of it. It's like, read it. If you are a child of God, read it. Get excited. Chase down the word and see what attribute have you not fully grown up in. Like our grandchildren, we're teaching them manners. It is a process, a long process. But it's good. It's good. There's no condemnation. It's good. It's a journey. We want to have that journey. Embrace it. Submit to the word and live out our full identity. The more we do it, the more we understand it, the more we walk it, then we are starting to get used to walking in what our true nature in Jesus is. Are you with me there? Not the old man that went in the grave, the new individual that Jesus created. We want to walk and learn to walk in the true identity of who we are and not believe the lie that we are anything less. We need to be very excited to live in our full identity, because when we are walking as one in Christ, just stop and think about it. Jesus said, I'm in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Friends, this is not something hypothetical. This is real. It's literal. It's spiritual. And it's manifested in the flesh that we are. So think about it. When we are walking in keeping his word, we're walking in alignment. We're not fighting him on any of this. We're walking with him, and he is in us, and he is having his way through us. We are carrying the presence of the God Most High. Doesn't that just make your heart melt? We are carrying the presence. Where we walk, we take him. Do you think about that? When you walk in your neighborhood, I do. Man, if I'm walking and I'm in an area that's not good, I'm declaring the kingdom of God here. Break that spiritual bondage. Devil, you better run. The kingdom of God is here with us, in us, through us. Is it through us, though? That's where we want to go today, right? Through us. We are walking in his purpose. We're walking in his strength that he gives us. We are walking in his wisdom as we ask him, like it says in James. Oh, we are such a blessed people. We have been given so much in Christ Jesus. And who can even fathom what yet is to come that he has for us? Letting the word live in us. Hebrews 4. 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Here's the thing. As he is in us, as we have his word, because it says, if you keep my commands, if you obey it, if you take it in, let it come in us. Let it change us. That it does its work inside of us. It'll separate. It'll give us that wisdom. It'll give us that direction and help carve away, help grow up everything that is to be for us as a child of the God Most High. In this passage, he says, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. I love this passage right here. Father will love them. Friends, in our time alone with Jesus, I think it's really important that we just stop and let our mind be totally shaken by the truth that Creator God Father is coming to you in love. My Father will love them. We know God loves the whole world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? This passage is talking about, now listen, as a child of God, he loves you. He loved you before you were a child of God. Father loves you. As you love and keep his word and it's doing its work inside of you, his love is changing you. That's the Father's love. It's not condemnation. It's growing us up in love, in conviction, in strength, in wisdom, in spiritual maturity. It's growing up, but we have to say yes to. That's why he's talking about keeping the word first. We've got to say yes to it. Robert, I love my husband. He's an amazing man of God. And I wouldn't tell him this because I wouldn't want him to get a big head. But he's super smart. And he loves our son and daughter. He loves, and their spouses. He loves them. He loves them like a father. They could get anything from him. He would do anything for his kids. He loves them so much. And he, in his years of age, which is whatever, he has gained a lot of life experience, as all of you have received life experience, opportunities to learn things, wisdom in different areas of life with raising kids or working in the corporate world or finances or any of those things. He's gained wisdom in all of those things. He loves his kids. He's sitting on a whole pack of wisdom. Now his sons and daughter, being loving him, should they ask for wisdom, should they ask for information, advice, knowledge, he will lavishly give it to them. And see, they got to take in his word into them and receive it in love and act on that word that their father gave them so they can learn from it, right? And get better in whatever their question might be. It's so much more true for our Heavenly Father. He gives us his word, and he has given us all this information. And as we take it in, now the Father's love, his love comes to us and is changing us inside. He can't do that, friends. He can love you on the outside, and he does so many things in the world to love us and keep us and bless us. But friends, this change on the inside, we've got to say, yes, Father. I want your advice. I want your word. I want to let it change me and grow me up into maturity, to make me stronger, to make me wiser in you, Lord Jesus, to make me what you desire to see me as a mature daughter in your kingdom. It's exciting. Because see, he can do a lot of things for us. And he does. But when you take his living word, and it is alive, and you say, yes, Jesus. Now, you know that passage that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive of the things God has prepared for those who love him. I say, I love you, Jesus. I'm taking this in. Yes, 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 yes. I want it, Lord. I want to live this word out. And now I'm loving you, and I'm walking and acting on what you say to do or not to do, Jesus. I'm trying my best, and by your Holy Spirit, I'll do it. And now, no eye has seen. I can't conceive what my Father is going to do in me and through me as I love him by loving his word. Him, Jesus is the word. I love it, I love it, I love it. I want it in me, every part of me. I want his word to wash through every aspect of my life. And it is a work, it is an intentionality. It is a choice. It is a decision. And there will be a battle you will face. When the devil wants to tell you, you don't need it, it's not that big a deal. Or he says, you come from a Christian family, your grandma knows Jesus, it's all good, you go to church. Friends, it's not going to do any good for you. It's in you. And who would ever want to miss what God has for you? Amen? Because here's the deal. You can't even conceive of what it is. You don't know the impact of his life in you and through you by his word living in you and changing you. And you walk in this world. You don't know the impact that it's going to have. You don't know the impact of the life and the beauty of that word you speak to somebody because you're obeying Jesus, or that prayer you say over somebody because you're obeying Holy Spirit, or the word of God you share with somebody, or that act of kindness you do. You just don't know. Oh, but he does. And it's gorgeous. It's incredible. You can't fathom it. It is so, so good. Who wants to miss it? I don't. And what's the path? Jesus. It's Jesus. It's his word. Father is good. He's coming to us in his love. And this is the piece that I get staggered with. I don't know about you. But Jesus said, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all one, yes, and with the different attributes. We're not going to go in there. It's not necessary. Jesus said, he, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, will come to us and make his home with us. What's a home? What is it? What is it to you? Is it a house? Is it a family? From home, what you consider home, that's where your life comes from, isn't it? It's where your life source comes from. It's where you're known and loved. I want to set aside first, I'm just going to speak it, the dysfunctional piece of homes and family. I know I came from one as a child. Set the brokenness aside. Just lay that to rest for a minute and understand what healthy, good wholeness looks like. Home. It is to be that place where you're loved, you're not harmed, where you're nurtured, you're fed, you're protected, you have joy, you share tears, you work together, you share a common love. Home, right? It's where your future is dreamed about. And it's where you gain that strength and you step on the shoulders of those who love you, and you dream and you move forward. Home, it's where you belong, right? So when brothers and sisters in Christ come to my house, I firstly want them to understand it's not my house, it's my Father's house. It's Father's house. And when I'm talking to a brother or sister in Jesus, I say, when they come, welcome home. Welcome home. This is Father's house. You make yourself comfortable because you're home. This is your house. It's your Father's house. Are you with me? Welcome home. You belong here. You're not a guest. You're not a stranger. You belong here. This is that safe space. This is that place where we are excited you are here. You belong. That's important to us when people come to our house. It's not a house, it's a home. And brothers and sisters, it's welcome home. It's important that they know they belong. So what is that with our life and Father? Well, when folks come over, man, when I think of children of the King, I'm dealing with children of the King. I don't see my brothers and sisters as people. They're children of the King. Are you with me on that? Stop and think about that for a while. It should change how you treat one another. Children of the King, you set out your best because it's children of the King. How would you do that? What does that look like? The best of what you have to give. So if I'm talking about Jesus coming to me, it's clear I belong to him. I'm a child of God. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I've received it, his grace by faith. I belong to him. I get that. But now, not only do I belong to him, I want to flip it into maturity. And it's the focus that my life belongs to him, like for him to live through us. Colossians 3:4, it says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be also revealed with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, I mean, just chew on that a little bit. That's the thing that the Father for me has really been taking me down this path of, think about it more, Judy, think about it more. I want your life, not just for salvation, but I want to live my life through your life. So to the point where I can say, Christ is my life. It's not mine anymore. I give it to Jesus. Amen? Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So Paul, he goes, if I go on living, it will be fruitful labor for me. What do I choose? I don't know. It would be better to go and be with Christ, but I know it's more important for me to remain with you. He talks about that in Philippians. For me to live is Christ. And that is not a burden. That is just merely submitting into the story of who you are as the temple of the Lord God Most High, as his son or daughter of the King. It's exciting. It's exciting. Could we have any bigger purpose in life? Could we have any greater calling than our life to be for Jesus Christ? To the point where we say, it's not my life anymore. This is when we walk and we say, I don't want people to see me. I want them to see Jesus. And they can't see Jesus if I don't carry him in such a way that he is able to live through me, because I am not saying no to him. Home, it's where we belong. Do I remember in 1 Corinthians 6:10 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We are the temple of God. He lives in us. This is his home. Therefore, when I am thinking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit living in me, I want to make sure they know they belong here. I want them to know, yes, this is your home. You belong here. Are you with me here? You belong here, Jesus. You belong in my life to take over my life in the way that you have your way through me. Yes, you belong here, Jesus. Do I do that? Or do I say, yeah, you belong here on Sunday, or maybe when I'm in the right attitude. But you know, over here, no, I'm my own person. I'm my own person. No. He's to live. We are his temple. That is why we want to set out our best, treat it the best we can in preparation for him. Make it that space that is pleasing to him. Intentionally try to make it that space that he's like, yeah, this is my dwelling. I love it in Colossians, was it 3:17? It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus, as unto the Lord. So that means to making this temple, part of what that looks like, getting it ready and trying to keep it ready, is when I'm going to have this conversation with this person, I better be able to say, in the name of Jesus, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or when I'm over here talking about this person to this person for a good reason, of course, I better be able to say, well, in the name of Jesus, Susie Q, da 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 da. Are you catching my drift? When I am doing something, an action, an activity, an entertainment, can I say, in the name of Jesus, I do this? Can I say that? We want to be able to say that. That's part of keeping this temple home for the Lord, where he's comfortable. Because, see, we've got to flip it where it's no longer about, okay, we go to Father when we have needs, hurts, pains, frustration. Of course, we always go to him for those things. And anything and everything, he's a good father. We go to him. But friends, we got to get to the place where we stop and say, what about you, Jesus? How can I bless you? How can I make my life, my temple, a place that brings joy to your heart, and you say, yeah, that's home? It's a different way of thinking about it. It's that next step. When someone comes and calls it home, one of the things besides belonging is they find rest. When we have folks come over, man, it is so important for me. I want them to feel it's home, it's our Father's home. I want them to be able to rest. That is everything. They've got to be able to rest in their physical body, in their emotions, their spiritual well-being. We want them to rest, right? So I prepare the environment so they can rest. I don't want to, okay, I'm not going to be playing my instruments when they're there and causing any extra noise. I'm not going to be watching television where they're hearing it and it's not restful to them. I'm not going to be having junk sitting out that it's like, ugh. No, it's going to, I want it, the physical space to be set up so they can rest. I've got to think of it from their point of view, because what might be restful to me might not be for them. Rest. Home is where you rest. For them, I'm preparing it spiritually. I'm praying all over it. I'm praying over the bedroom that they can have spiritual rest, that they're not going to be agitated by the enemy, that they will just be able to rest and have that space with Jesus, to hear Jesus. I'm praying over it, the physical, spiritual. It's what it all is. So when this being the home for Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, is it restful for them? Or am I giving them a contentious environment inside of me? Does he have to have an argument with me to convince me that this is true and I need to embrace it into my life? Am I arguing with him? Or am I walking in such a way that I'm already saying, Jesus, I know what you're going to say to me in here, whatever I next read, it's truth. And I'm going to say before I even see it, yes, Lord, yes. Give me strength and ability to do it, but I'm saying yes. I'm not going to argue it with you, Jesus. I'm going to say yes. Yes. Is it home? Does he get that rest with me? Or am I contentious with him? Am I giving him an environment where he's always having to battle me? Who wants to be home and have a fight all of the time? Can I think about him? Can I think about, Father, I want you to enjoy being here. I want you to enjoy it. So all of the junk, I'm going to cut it out. Do I try my best to make it not hard for him to change me? Or am I always fighting and wanting to hold the dead and the old life that I used to have? 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft." I'll say it again. "For rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry." So when I feel that rising up in me, I'm still a child of God. But if I feel that rebellion rising up on me, I need to stop and recognize it and go, no, that is like the sin of witchcraft, and I will have nothing to do with that. But I got to choose, chuck it out. I'm not having that foul thing in me. And when I recognize it like that, it's easier to push it away. It's not that Jesus ever pushes me away. He's going to continue working with me and working with me. And if I was a smart daughter, I would not make him have to use discipline on me. Amen? Just saying. He's a good father. Robert's a good father. His kids didn't get away with anything because he is a good father. I'm not saying he used to beat them, but he would give them corrections. The last thing I want to say about home is it's a place where you're nourished. You eat. When I have friends, sisters, and brothers come, I want to know what they like, because there's no sense me fixing food that isn't what they enjoy having, right? I don't want to fix food people don't want to eat or they can't eat for health reasons. It's got to be stuff they can eat, right? It's got to be what they really desire. So it's got to be what they want, and I need to fix it with the attitude of love, because I'm not that good of a cook, but it's served with a lot of love. So if I'm not serving it with love, they're really not getting anything. So it's got to be with a lot of love, right? So when we look at Jesus, and if he's in we are his home, what am I feeding the Lord here? Have you thought about it? He wants fruit of that is desirable to him. And what does that look like? Well, number one, the word of God. However this lives out in my life, that is good fruit. That is something that is pleasing unto the Lord. I want to have that to give him out of love. Not out of being accepted, because I'm already accepted as a child of God. I don't have to work for his affirmation. I don't have to work to be a child of God. I do it because I am crazy in love with him, and I want him to be well fed. First thing I always say to my kids when they come home, are you hungry? What can I get you? Might not be that good again, but I'll get you something, because I want him to eat. The other thing, and other food that to look at, it's the word, but it's also God's will. Is God's will living out in my life? Because that develops the fruit he wants to eat. In Colossians, it said, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And this is why we process our life with Jesus. We want to know, Father, what is your will? It's not my will, but yours be done. Amen? So, Father, we can't know what the will is. You might know some of the will from the Word of God. It has a lot of it in there. But then it also says, and it's really critical, it says, the Spirit will give you wisdom and understanding. The Spirit is who tells us how this is, how it's to be lived out in my life, in this situation, in this relationship, in this task I'm doing. So we have to be connected to Holy Spirit. And that's why we process, and that's why Pastor Michael is telling us all the time, process at the feet of Jesus your life. So what this might look like, and this is the end here that I'll wrap it up here. Some of the questions. How do we live out love? Let God take over living out his life through us. That turn of the corner where it's all Jesus. Ask him, Jesus, what are your thoughts about this situation? Jesus, what does your heart feel when you look at this person over here and they're going through this situation? Jesus, what are you hearing when this person, I hear their words and their words sound very angry, or they're crying and they're hurting? Jesus, what is it that you're hearing that's actually coming from them? Jesus, what do you want to say to this person? Jesus, who do you want me to touch in prayer in this environment out here? Is there somebody that needs to know they're loved? Jesus, Please give me your strength to do this. Jesus, please give me your attitude as I do this task or as I walk in this situation. What's your attitude, Jesus? My attitude might want to be kind of cranky, but what's your attitude, Jesus? I want your attitude too. I choose it. Jesus, how do you want to live out your presence through me today? Every moment, all day. And Jesus, do you feel at home in me? What can I do, Jesus, to serve you, to be refreshing to you, Jesus? You refresh me so much. How can I refresh you? Oh, Jesus, can you hear me say I love you in all that I'm thinking, in the attitude of my heart, and in what I'm doing? Those are some questions for you to enjoy processing at the feet of Jesus to help all each one of us continue that journey of Jesus loves me, saved me from heaven to the water, to the grave, to our darkest night, and now continue to just live through us because we're taking the kingdom of heaven everywhere we go. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Whitechapel Church Online. We pray that today's sermon blessed you and that you'll continue to join us as we lean into God's word together. Until next time, have a great week.